ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितां भगवता नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन कथितां पुराणमुनिना मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणीं भगवतीं अष्टादशाध्यायिनीम् अम्बत्वाम् अनुसन्तधामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वैषिणी. तानि सर्वाणि संयम्य युक्त आसीत मत्परः पशेहि यस्य इन्द्रियाणि तस्य प्रज्ञापतिष्ठिता सन्ति. तानि सर्वाणि संयम्य युक्त आसीत मत् परः पशे हि यस्य इन्द्रियाणि तस्य प्रज्ञा प्रतिष्ठिता So, in the previous verse, Krishna was saying, you know, just how strong the indriyas are, the indriyas backed by desire, how strong they are, how even for the vidvan, even for the mumukshu, the one who really understands, the one who's been exposed to this teaching, the one who has viveka, even for that vipaschit, even for that person, the indriyas that still, when the rasa is still there, this is the idea, when the rasa is still there, means you still have a sense, that just because of past samskaras, you still have a sense that this will make me happy. It's still, it's so strong, the power of it to pull the mind, the sense organs to pull the mind out after it as it makes a beeline for the objects of its desires. Okay? So after that verse, now he says, there. It's kind of a therefore, yetaha, because of that, this is from the Vasha, yetaha, tasmat, because of that, tasmat, therefore, from the Vasha, okay? Tani sarvani samyamya. Tani means those in the accusative plural. Sarvani, all of those. Samyamya, having pulled in all of those, the mind and the sense organs. Okay, so tani sarvani samyamya. Indeclinable past participle. Having pulled in, having controlled all of them. Yuktaha, remaining. Yuktaha means from the Bhasha and from Swamiji, the one who has viveka. Sometimes Swamiji will say the one who has it together is the yuktaha, the one who's together. But it's not just that. The one who has some viveka, has been exposed to this teaching, who has some understanding, so who has some karma yoga also. Karma yoga means the prasada buddhi, right? That samatva. The samatva in reference to all my experience, that being able to have a certain dispassion toward all experience, that samatva buddhi in the sense, dispassion in this sense, I take the results of my action as prasad from the Lord. That's the samatva. It's not that I don't want it to be like this, or I want it to be like this, and I don't want this to happen. That's different. There's a difference there in what I prefer, in my preferences. There's not samatva there. The samatva, sameness, is that all of the results, good and bad, I take as prasad from the Lord. So I have that prasad de buddhi. I even have that samatva, that sameness, that prasada buddhi toward my failure to do that. Do you understand? Shankara talks about this in his bhasha. It's that samatva buddhi is not just having the prasada buddhi for all of the results of the karma, of all of the things that I go after. I take everything, all of the karma pala, as prasad from the Lord. I also take my success and failure in being able to live up to my expectations of being able to do that. my success and failure as Karmapala, as grace, as prasad from the Lord. And that, you see what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's, that gets rid of what they used to, well, some students, I remember at the first course here up in Piercy years ago, they used to call the lack of that the Vedanta stick. I'm not doing it right, you know? That's the right? I'm not doing it right. I don't have the prasada buddhi. Or, you know, I still have likes and dislikes. I still have hatred and upset and all of these things. And so the Vedanta stick would come out. But this gets rid of the Vedanta stick. Because this takes the prasada buddhi, right? It takes the that prasada buddhi, that attitude of acceptance, even toward my being able to do this well or not being able to do this well or I feel in this way. You don't even think about it like that. And sometimes Swamiji will talk about that. Every moment is a fresh moment. It's always a fresh start. And he was I would say Swamiji was the great, and still to this day, not was, is the greatest role model for that. Always taking everybody fresh. You know, and himself. Always ready to give somebody a clean slate and start over. It's the most beautiful thing. Because if you can do that, say you have some bad feelings with each other, or say you've come to your teacher and you've blown it all over the place and spoken harshly the worst things that you could do. And then when you come back again, he's just as he was before. Nothing has changed. That is a wonderful role model. Mm. But you can't fake it. I mean, really nothing has changed. You know, no matter what comes, he always gives a fresh start. And so if you have somebody like that that's a role model for you, well, I feel for me he was a great role model in that way, you internalize it. So you internalize into yourself that ability to give a fresh start to yourself. Okay, you tripped and fell. Walking along, you tripped and fell. You don't say, I'm never going to get up again. Your little child trips and falls, learning how to walk. It's got the first three steps and then boom. You know, but you're all encouragement to get to help him or her get up again and start again. It's always a fresh start. And so that ability to give the fresh start to yourself and others, that's really the prasada buddhi. It goes that deep, right? It goes behind all of the other, it goes behind all achievements and failures, the prasada buddhi. It goes behind all action. And then that keeps the mind very, very fresh. So that person is, Swamiji would say, is yuktaha, has it together. Yuktaha. Karma, that prasada buddhi. The other thing that's important, I brought in the karma, that prasada buddhi, because that is karma yoga. Come from the same root, yuj, means to unite, right? But it really means unite in the terms of uniting with the self is getting rid of the. It's really letting things go, right? But when we say yuj, it's the person who that is yuktaha, the person who has that viveka, who has that discrimination, who has that mumukshutvam, and whose commitment is to that. So I'd say maybe even for you understanding yuktaha in terms of the person who has it together. Person who has it together as a mumukshu means what? This is their primary commitment. Nothing else. There's so many other things that we do in life besides Vedanta, besides gaining nishtha in this knowledge. But every other thing that we do is in light of this knowledge. So everything else is a sadhana. It's not that we don't do lots of things. It's not that we don't have lots of relationships. But nothing is enjoys the same order of reality as this. This is primary. And then everything else, you know, I'm working on myself in reference to that. So the world becomes life becomes a sadhana. This is central. So for such a person, that person is a yuktaha. So for such a person, tani sarvani samyamya, having pulled in the sense organs having pulled them in means the sense organs, as we'll see in a few verses from now, pulling in the sense organs means you're really pulling them in from their raga dveshas, from their likes and dislikes, from their being out in the world on their own, dragging you along. Right? That's the pulling in. It's not a pulling in that I should not see or that I should not hear, but it's a pulling in from the thing that makes me a jiva. You know, that jiva to him. I need this to be happy. I need this where my sense organs are pulling me along. When the senses are not pulling me along in that way, then what I am seeing is Ishvara. What I am appreciating is Bhagavan. That is the next part of this line. So he says, so that yuktaha, having pulled in all of these mind and sense organs, samyanya, controlling, actually means to control. Okay. One asita, the potential participle used as an imperative, one should sit. That yuktaha, such a person who knows something, not who knows, who has the viveka, who has this knowledge, having pulled in the sense organs, let that person sit in contemplation, matpaha, with me. Remember, it's Krishna talking. With me as their primary focus. With myself being the most important. Mat means me, myself. Being padaha, primary. That which is the most important. So here in the Bhasha, Shankara says, what is matpadaha? He says, for the mat, aham, I, Vasudeva. Who is Vasudeva? So aham, Vasudeva, it's the name for the Lord. Who is Vasudeva? Sarva Pratik Atma. Vasudeva, aham, I am Vasudeva, who am the self in all beings. Right? Sarva means all. Pratik, innermost, Atma. Sarva Pratik Atma. So Sarva Pratik Atma, I am the innermost self in all beings. In all, in everything. It doesn't say beings here. Sometimes it's Sarva Bhuta. Here it's just Sarva Pratik Atma. I am the innermost self in all. Okay, so aham vasudeva sarva pratyagatma paraha yasya. So for whom I, the one who is the self in all beings, am paraha, the most important, primary, the primary focus. Paraha means there's nothing more. There's nothing more important. So for the one who, for that one, that mat paraha, let that person sit in contemplation. And how do they contemplate? What is the contemplation? So here Shankara says, na anyaha aham tasmat. I am not other, I am not different from him. Right? So if I say it, as a jiva, as a person here, I, this atma, am not anyaha, na anyaha, I am not other than that. So I can say, I am not other than that. Or you can re-say it the other way. That Vasudeva, that the Lord is not other than me. Both ways are very powerful. Sometimes when you say, I am not other than the Lord, it feels smaller than when you say that the Lord, there's a different flavor. You're saying exactly the same thing. It's not different what you're saying. But if you're saying, Vasudeva is myself, right? Vasudeva is not different from me. Or my being is not different from Vasudeva, from the Lord. That's the contemplation. Really, I am the self in all beings. That's what it is. And that is knowledge, right? That I am the self in all beings. So, na anyaha aham tasmat iti asit. With this contemplation, let the yuktaha sit. Let the yuktaha, the one who has it together, as a mumuksha, that yuktaha, mat paraha. Now, it's not just let the person sit having me as their primary focus. It's the person who has me as their primary focus. Let them sit. Mm-hmm. See, it says yuktaha matparaha asit. Mm-hmm. Or asita, it's being done in the Atmanapada here. You see? So, what does it mean? This is such an important verse. It's like the person who sits to meditate. In Aparokshana Bhuti, you'll see Shankara says, what? Sitting to meditate. You don't have to sit to meditate. When are you not meditating? Does that mean I'm only meditating when I'm sitting? No, I'm meditating when I'm standing too. I'm always meditating. The one who sees the self in all beings, right? You don't, if your eyes are open, you're meditating because you see the self in all beings. So what does it mean? But here, if we take it, let that person sit and contemplate. Let's just take it on that level. Okay? Having withdrawn the senses, let the person sit in contemplation. What person? The person who is a yuktaha. Okay? Who is the yuktaha? The one who has the karma yoga buddhi. That's samatva. And also, with the samatva, the kaushalam. The kaushalam is that's the other half of the karma yoga buddhi. Samatva and kaushalam. Kaushalam is being able to discern what is dharmic appropriate action. What is appropriate action in this situation? So having viveka, being able to discriminate what is to be done and what is not to be done. Later, in a couple of verses, Shankara talks about that also. What is to be done, what is not to be done? What is dharmic behavior? Where that's a primary concern and that's something I follow. It's a primary concern. What is my primary concern as a mumukshu in terms of my behavior in the world? Is dharma. Because the dharma, it is dharma, the practice of dharma, that is most responsible for shanti. So dharma over everything else, I try to think what is proper behavior in this situation. Because it's the proper behavior that allows for a shanti. And so that's the kaushalam. That's learning, that's education. You know, that's learning also what Swamiji will often say is almost a God-given education, that we all instinctively know what is dharma. Because we know the do unto others as you would have done it to, or, you know, to me. We know that it's instinctual. But even knowing that, sometimes we don't follow it. And we don't follow it because there's a little piece that we haven't understood. And that little piece is, when I don't follow it, I become unhappy. Mm-hmm. I become more unhappy than if I had given up a pleasure for the sake of dharma. And so that piece I have to understand. That's the kaushalam. And then also, you know, just education. Education from your family. Education from your teachers. You know? What is how learning how to manage in the world? Kaushalam, in reference of learning how to be with my own mind. That's kaushalam. Learning how to be an inner friend. These are things to be understood. Learning karma yoga, to understand it. These are skills that we learn. How to be with the unconscious. All of these types of things. Kaushalam. They're education. They're understanding. And they're a skill-based understanding. How to be with the world, how to be diplomatic, you know. How to be diplomatic with myself and caring with myself. All of these things, they bring, that's the kaushalam. So there's the samatva buddhi from the karma yoga and the kaushalam, which is more skill-based learning, you know. That's the yuktaha. That yuktaha now has to be a mumukshu. The mumukshu is the one now who has viveka and vairagya. Now, the mumukshu, though, has to be exposed to this teaching. Because say the mumukshu is the yuktaha, has that certain strength, but doesn't have any understanding. And so it comes to the teacher, and the teacher says, you sit and meditate. Person's a mumukshu, right? And they follow dharma. They have shanti. You sit and meditate. What's the student going to say? On what? How do I meditate? What do I meditate upon? Right? So included in this, yuktaha and matparaha, so the one who's yuktaha, matpara, they have to know, if I am supreme, as Vasudeva, I am the most important, it's not saying, let Gagubaga be paraha. Gagubaga should be paraha for you. That's Swamiji's word. Gagubaga is paraha. What will you say? How can I make Gagubaga para? Who is it? What is it? So what if you say, Meditate on the Lord. How will I meditate on the Lord? I can pray to the Lord, whoever you are, please help me to know you. But Matparaha means the one for whom I, Vasudeva, the one who is the self in all beings, is the primary focus for that person. That means there's knowledge there. So let that person who has this knowledge withdraw the sense organs. And how can they withdraw the sense organs? Unless they know what the truth of the whole thing is, that I am the Ananda. That's like saying, withdraw your sense organs, don't be happy. Even if you think that these objects will make you happy, you believe that, withdraw them anyway. It's not realistic. You can withdraw the sense organs because you know that that dynamic doesn't have anything to do with your Ananda. That it's an illusion. But you can't just say, oh, it's an illusion. You have to know why it's an illusion. And you have to know what that self is. You know, that is the source of the Ananda. And so, that you, the one who is a Yuktaha, the one who is Matparaha, the one who knows, the one who has knowledge, but the mind is still pulling you out. So for that one, for whom this knowledge is paraha, the most important, let that person sit. Withdraw the sense organs and focus on me. On me as what? Not just the Atma, as me as the self in everything. Right? It says, Sarva Pratyagama, I am the innermost being of everything. So let the sense organs be withdrawn and let that meditation be on that. That I am the innermost self, this innermost self that I am is the self in all things. So then it says, Vashe hi yasya indriyani. The one for whom, yasya, these indriyas are under control. Vasha, when you say this word vasha, it comes up a lot in the different texts that we use. Vashe means under my control, in my hands. If you look it up in the dictionary, it's in my hands. It's under my control. So for the one for whom, yesya, vashe, for whom, in my control, what's in my control? Indriyani. For whom the indriyas, the sense organs and the mind, are under my control, he says, tasya, for that person, prajna pratishtita, this knowledge becomes firm. This prajna means jnanam, the knowledge that I am the whole. That knowledge becomes firm. So for the one who has this knowledge, let that person sit, focused on me, recognizing the truth of it, withdrawing these sense organs from what? From the raga dveshas. You know, from the idea that these vishayas, these objects out here, were actually a source of happiness. They're not. Let me withdraw the sense organs. By withdraw the sense organs through that understanding, not through a physical act. Right? The withdrawal of the sense organs is not a physical act. It's an understanding. Right? I should be able to have my eyes completely open, all of my sense organs completely open. What have I withdrawn? Really, I've withdrawn the raga dvesha. When my sense organs are open without the likes and dislikes, without the raga dvesha, means likes and dislikes in a real form. I need this to be happy. When that's not there, then with my sense organs open, I appreciate myself in all beings. Right? Because I don't need this to be happy or that to be happy. So then I get to experience Ishwara. If I close my eyes, I experience Ishwara. If I open my eyes, I experience Ishwara. That's knowledge. It's not that I close my eyes and now I get to be with myself and I open my eyes and oh, now I'm in the world. You know? It's whether my eyes are closed or open, whether my mind is thinking or upset or having emotions or absorbed Ishwara. That's the knowledge. So the one who... So you have to understand, see, what they really mean by this samyamya, withdrawing these sense organs. What does that mean? It means removing the raga dvesha. He tells what it means now in this next verse, in giving an example of what happens when you don't do that. Okay? When you're meditating on the sense objects instead of on Bhagavan. Jayato vishayan pumsaha. Jayato vishayan pumsaha. Sangasteshu Pajayate,
Sangasteshu Pajayate,
Sangat Sanjayate Kamaha,
Sangat Sanjayate Kamaha,
Kamat Krodho Pijayate,
Kamat Krodho Pijayate,
Krodhat Bhavati Sammohaha,
Krodhat Bhavati Sammohaha,
Sammohat Smriti Vibhramaha,
Sammohat Smriti Vibhramaha,
Smriti Bramshat Buddhinashaha,
Smriti Bramshat Buddhinashaha,
Buddhinashat Pranashyati,
Buddhinashat Pranashyati.
So Shankara says in his introduction to this verse, he says, now for the person, now, oh, I'm sorry, Sandhi. Jayataha Vishayan Pumsaha Sangaha Teshu Upajayate Sangat Sanjayate Kamaha Kamat Krodaha Abhijayate. So Shankara says in his introduction, Atta means now, idanim, Atta idanim, therefore now, having created this problem, you know, we need a contrast. He says, for the person who is overwhelmed, defeated by the sense organs, he uses the word parabhavishyataha, the one who is being, you know, pulled away, being overwhelmed. He says, sarva anarthamula, the cause for all of these, for this calamity, sarva anartha, for all of that, what is the root for all of the problems? Sarva anartha, anarthas are the problems, you know, the negative, the painful things that happen. So all of the painful things that happen in this process, what is the mula? Mula literally means root, like the root of a tree. So what is the root for all of it? For the person who finds themselves getting overwhelmed. So he gives it in these two verses. Starts out, it gives the root right away. Jayataha Vishayan. You know, we usually think of jaya like dhyanam, meditating. But really, jaya, it means thinking about. The one who, but we can say facetiously, the one who is meditating on. For the one who is present participle, for the one who's really thinking about, contemplating on, thinking about what the vishya is. Vishayan, accusative plural. So the one who's thinking about all of these objects, and in the Bhasha he says, vishya visheshas, all of these particular objects. Like if I look in, if I'm going down the street, most of the objects just pass me by. Like if there'll be an object, one object here, one object there, an object of desire. Right? Oh, that's nice. That's really interesting. So my mind spots something. You go to a store. Say you're shopping. You're looking in the, on the internet. You're doing something. Something, not all of the objects strike, but one does. Oh, that's interesting. Well, that would be nice to have that. You know, I could use that for this. That. In other words, the mind starts thinking about it, building up around it. Right. So this is where it starts. Just starts. You notice something, that's fine. You know, but if you just noticed it, you would just pass by. But no, you notice something about it, right? And then your mind starts working on it, right? It starts working on it. So, jayataha is in the genitive, and it's a present participle. Jayataha vishayan pumsaha. Pumsaha comes from pumps, means a person. It's in the genitive singular. So, for the person, human being, for a person, who is thinking about the objects. Okay, this is the beginning. Here's a, just an innocent person. Now, this person is now thinking, starting to think about the given objects. Okay, that's the beginning. For that person who's thinking about, picked out an object, they're thinking about it, working on the object, a sangaha takes place, an attachment. Attachment means priti. Priti means like a liking. Particular object, there's a liking, a priti. Priti means, you know, a love, I would love to have that. Right? That would be nice. A pleasurable sensation around the object arises. We call sangha, you start wanting it. Right? So just sangha often just translates as attachment. But attachment is just, it's not like getting like glue. That's, you know, that's a different kind of attachment. This is the attachment of feeling, having pleasurable feelings about something. Preeti. It's a light. It's lighting up for you. Okay. So that's not, no, that's not going to happen unless you've started thinking about it. It starts with the thinking. So then the preeti, the little attachment comes. Then, sangaha, so he says, sangaha teshu upajayate. From thinking about it, this attachment, this little pleasure, preeti, arises. Sangat sanjayate kamaha. From the sangha, sangat, from that attachment, sanjayate kamaha, desire comes. Right? So we've gone to thinking about it to a little liking it, to wanting it. Kama is wanting. It's no longer just thinking nicely about it. Now I want to have this now. Okay. So now the kama has been born. Right? It's, so you can, you have to really to memorize this.
And then,
you know,
put your template on everything.
Yeah. And then you actually,
there I go again.
you watch this progression. You watch the progression, but notice that it all started with your concentration on your starting to rotate around the object. That's where it starts, okay? Okay, so now the kama has come. So it says, from that kama, from that sangha, that connectedness to it, now the kama, the desire. Desire is what? You have to remember the desire template. I want this so that I can be happy. We could do this whole thing in the negative also. You see something, it could be a problem for you. You develop, you know, a worry about it. And then the desire is it, the negative desire. You know, this has to go. That. But it's the same, right? It's the same dynamic, positive or negative. Here we're doing it from the positive. Okay, so now, from this liking, the desire, I want this so that I can be happy. And it's not joking. This is what we think. I have to have this so that I can be happy. And once that comes, once now we're in the grip, once this has happened, now from that, kamat krodaha abhijayate. Krodaha abhijayate means is born, but it has more of a sense as it conquers, it overwhelms. Now, krodha, anger. Anger is not going to come as long as my desire is being fulfilled. But the krodha comes every time there's a little bit of an obstruction. From the most minute obstruction, there's the little minute anger. A bigger obstruction, a bigger anger. Irritation, anger, anxiety. All of this comes from the thwarting of the desire. Shankara says, he goes like this. First he says, kamaha is what? Trishna. Trishna means, it's interesting, kama means desire. It's often has a synonym, trishna. Trishna means thirst. You know, I have a thirst for something. And thirsty means I want to quench that thirst. Right? And so there's a desire to quench the thirst. So trishna is another word for desire, even though literally it means thirst. So he translates it. He gives a synonym as trishna. Then he says, so that you'll understand clearly this krodha, he says, kamat, from the desire, right? Kuteschit pratihatat, which has somehow, kuteschit, in some way, it's been thwarted. Prati, you know, pratihata means it's been, hata means to like be killed, to be stopped. In some way it's been thwarted, it's been stopped, somehow. So from a desire that has been somehow thwarted, krodaha abhijayate, krodha overwhelms, will come from that. Okay. So now, we probably all know, So now it goes, okay, now the krodha has come. Now we're in the world of unpleasantness. We've now entered pain. Krodha, if the krodha is there, that's an unpleasant feeling. You know, it's a feeling that we don't want to have. It's a feeling that we want to get rid of. We might have some sophistication about ways to get rid of it, reasoning with it, being kind, trying to rationalize it, understand it, what's causing it, all of that. But whatever we're doing to it, one thing is for certain is that we would like for it to go away. Mm. We would like to neutralize it. Okay. So now that this krodha has come, here it is. So from the krodha, we haven't neutralized it. It's on its way. Krodha is on its way now in the psyche. Now what? Krodha bhavati sammoha. From this anger comes delusion. Very interesting. What Shankara says, this is, remember, this is what you have to keep in mind to really understand this verse. This is being taught to a mumukshu. Just like I'm teaching it to you now, we all know exactly what Krishna is talking about. As these, you know, as you give this progression, you know this progression. He uses this as an example for the moha that comes from krodha. He says, for that moha, he says, sammudaha, being sammudaha, completely deluded, you know. He says, gurum api akroshati. The student, doesn't say student, but the person can even yell at their teacher. Really? You know, imagine, say you imagine for Swamiji, you know, and something has happened to make me angry. I'm angry. Now I'm in anger. Now I'm totally deluded. And I can't even imagine it. But I can imagine it. But I don't like to imagine it. But if I imagine that, which I don't even want to imagine, if I can imagine, that's why Shankara says this. Because I can't even make myself imagine it. That's why he uses this as an example. You do what you can't imagine doing. That's the sammoha. But what's so beautiful is that he uses that example. And I know why he uses the example. Because you can't bear to think that you would do that. Because you can't bear to think that you would do it, that's what he means by sammoha. You can't reconcile that you would ever behave that way. And that's what anger can lead to, is that level of delusion where you will do things that you would never do. See? So it's very powerful, and to me very moving that he would use that, because I know what he means. Now, he says, sammohat, from that, if you're in that deluded state, now, then he says, what happens from that? Sammohat is ablative, right? Ablative means it's causal. So from that state, from that sammoha, then he says, smriti vibramaha. Smriti means memory. Vibramaha means you lose it. Your memory goes. So here, what memory? Memory of what? So Shankara says, from the sammoha, smriti vibramaha, he says, shastra acharya upadesha adita samskara janikaraha smritehi. He says, from the memory which has been born, janita means it's been born, from the samskaras, means that memory which is in the form of, it's born from all of the samskaras, all of the things that you've taken in. Right? Samskaras are all of the impressions that you've gained from your teacher, from the teaching, from the satsang, from everything, all of those samskaras, right? So all of the memory that's available to you, which has been born from all of the impressions, all of your experiences of what? The shastra, the teaching, the upadesha of the teaching, of the teacher, of the acharya, and the shastra. Mm-hmm. Right? So the whole, everything everything. You know, all of that, this is what the sammoha leads to. You forget all of that. That's how powerful. Right? That's how powerful the anger is.
It means momentary.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, not for
Jeez.
No, no, no.
Start over.
Just when you have that anger,
right.
When that anger
right.
takes place, that leads to that delusion.
Right.
Right? Okay. That delusion has caused you to lose your senses. You lose your memory of everything that's important to you. Everything that you know is just wiped out for that time. Right? And then he says, okay, and then from the loss of that memory, buddhihi nashaha, you lose your buddhi, you lose your intellect. It's not available to you, it's gone now. So what does he say about the buddhi? He says, this is how he defines buddhi nashaha. Nashaha means the destruction of your buddhi, it's not permanent. It means, but it's, this is what he says it is. I suppose it could be permanent, depending on what you end up doing. He goes like this, for the buddhi-nashaha. Karya akarya vishya viveka ayogyata. The inability, ayogyata, incapacity, right, to discriminate over those things which should be done and shouldn't be done. You lose that capacity to discriminate what you should do. Karya is a potential participle. It means what should be done. Karya is what should be done. Akarya, what shouldn't be done. So vishyas are things. A vishya can be an object, like this is a vishya. It can also be a subject matter, or a situation, or a thing. So you lose your capacity, your yogyata, your ability, your capacity, leaves you to what? Viveka, to be able to discriminate between what you should do and what you shouldn't do. That is gone. For the time being, when you're under the spell. Right? So when you're under the spell. If the buddhi is gone, buddhi nashat, if the buddhi has been destroyed, then what? Pranashyati. Then you are destroyed. Then the person is destroyed. Yeah. And Shankara says here, he says, tavat eva hi purushaha yavat antakaranam. He says, a human being, a purusha, is a person as long as they have a mind. If they don't have a mind, where's the person then? Right, you have a body there, but the person has more or less checked out. Okay, so he says the person has to be there, and then when that mind is there, then karya akarya vishya viveka yogyam, then there's the capacity to choose and to do what is to be done and what is not to be done. When the antakarana is in the mind is not there, you don't have the capacity to do that. And he says then, and from that, the person is destroyed. Because of that, the person is destroyed. And what does that mean? Purushartha ayogyaha bhavati. They're no longer capable of purushartha. What are the purushartas? The four purushartas of a human being are kama, artha, dharma, and moksha. You know, I can't fulfill my desires, I can't fulfill my pursuits, I can't take care of myself in terms of security and those needs. I can't do dharma, I can't do the things that are to be done, I can't do what I need in order to improve myself, even in getting a better next life. Moksha is out of the question. What a human being needs to be able to do are not available to me. Right? And so that's why a person is destroyed. And so we experience these little momentary destructions whenever we get caught in this spell, right? Whenever we're caught in this spell. And so what he's showing here is the bouncing ball, you know, the bouncing ball of this spell. It starts with meditating on an object, right? Instead of seeing all objects as for what they are, I see one, strikes me. As it strikes me, I start noticing all of its good qualities. And then, noticing that, I develop a desire for it. Once I develop a desire for it, then the world divides up into those that will help me have that and those that are inimical. And then everybody else doesn't count. Right? Because they're neutral. But the whole world divides up. And then whenever there's an obstruction to the desire, because I need this to be happy, then the anger comes. When the anger comes, I lose the capacity to do what needs to be done. I become deluded. I lose my memory. I lose everything that I know. Right? When I lose everything that I know, and I don't have my antakarana, but I don't have my mind, but I don't have my knowledge available to me, then I am destroyed. Because I can't function. You know? And so this is really the human cycle. It's a very, very painful cycle. And it's nobody's fault. Really, that cycle is caused by ajnanam. That's the real culprit. Right? That's the culprit. Because I believe that, we all experience the need to be happy. When I'm happy, I know all is well with me. When I'm unhappy, I have to become happy. It's a human pursuit. And because of ajnana, I take that to be external to myself. And I've spent lifetimes seeking, searching to fulfill my desires so that I can become happy. Okay, now, you become a yuktaha. Yuktaha. Somebody who has that viveka, who has karma yoga, who has learned, who has been taught, you become a yuktaha, who is a matparaha. Right? Still you find that your sense organs are being pulled out. Now that's why Krishna is saying, this is what happens. Your sense organs are pulled out, you find yourself rotating around one object, and this is how the bouncing ball happens. So now he says, okay, and in the next verse, which we'll do next time, we have to pull the mind back. Because until your knowledge is firm, until your knowledge is firm, you need to pull your mind back. What does that mean? Instead of meditating on the object, meditate on me. When you find yourself meditating on the object, rotating on the object, at that time, pull those sense organs back and meditate on me. I am the self of that object. Matparaha. Bring in the matparaha. And so now he's going to start going back to that and telling you more how to do that. But the first thing is acknowledging the problem. Even the vipassajit, even the person who has clarity of knowledge, because of all of the samskaras, all of the samskaras born of ajnanam, keep pulling the mind out, creating pain. You have to pull it back. You pull it back with knowledge and understanding. You can't do any of this without knowledge. In fact, when we say pull it back, it seems so, it's like saying going to Brahman, as though Brahman is away, so you're pulling your sense organs back. You're pulling them back by giving them knowledge, by reminding them. Right? Instead of seeing this as an object, I see this as Ishwara. I see the object. Right? But I see that the self of the object is my being. And so I keep seeing and seeing and seeing and seeing my knowledge. That's pulling back. Okay, let's stop there. More next week. Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.